This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
I need to hear from sellers, like, what isn't working? What do we need to do better? And so for me, whether it's on the eBay community board, sellers email directory, other channels, it's a great opportunity to get that feedback and just learn about what do we need to be doing as we plan for next year.
Our largest business is our online business, which around almost $3 million comes from just selling online. And a large portion of that $3 million comes from selling on the eBay platform.
I would say that our eBay Giving Works is a big part of our identity. Our customers, and we have lots and lots of return customers, know that we do this, and it's a part of why they choose to buy from us.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace.
And this is episode number 72. Mm-hmm. Happy New Year, Griff.
Well, happy New Year to you, Alan. I hope it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, likewise, 2020.
You know, next week we're going to have New Year's resolutions from our sellers that have called into the hotline.
Great. So, can't wait to hear them.
But this week we have two big stories to cover. The first one is eBay Senior Vice President of America's Marketplace, and he's also General Manager of America's Marketplace, Jordan Sweetnam. And he's going to recap his Ask Me Anything event on eBay Community. That's where he solicited for questions.
Yes.
And the community voted on the top five?
Top five, top 10. Yeah. We initially said five, but Jordan wanted to do more, no. So we're doing more.
Typical vice president, right?
Yeah.
Overachiever there. So, so he's going to come on and talk about how that went.
Yeah, and then we will talk with two charity sellers. First up, Sean Newell of More Than Words, and then Elizabeth Bennett from Africa Direct. And we'll talk about their charitable efforts and how the eBay for Charities platform helped them reach the donation goals and in the process help boost their business growth.
All that, Alan, and a little bit more. But first, it's that time when we cup a hand to the old ear and visit the eBay community to capture a sampling of the buzz. Last week, I wanted to use some segue music into the buzz.
Yeah.
It was going to be the Flight of the Bumblebee.
What happened?
Well, I downloaded a file from the interwebs.
Right.
And I sent it to Rob in New York.
Yeah.
And he pointed out that Warner Brothers owns this.
We don't want to be sued.
Right. So I figure what I'd do is I'd learn to play the violin.
Okay.
And then I'd play Flight of the Bumblebee.
How's that coming along?
It's not.
No, not over Christmas. You didn't get the time to learn.
No, so we're going to use the same old music for now. But I'm going to look into doing a license.
Good.
Where we can actually license some music for the show.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it costs money.
Ah, sure.
You know what that's like.
You've got lots.
You
got
to pull a lot of legs around here to get budget. So, anyway, Alan, what's happening this week in the community?
Of course. Given that we'll be hearing some great seller questions in the Jordan segment coming up, I thought we might mention some other aspects of the community first.
Oh, that's a good idea. Like what in particular?
Well, one thing, there was a seller news announcement about a rate simplification for eBay Motors.
Oh, brother, what does it say?
Well, in brief, there are now three pricing options for occasional motor sellers and a simplified pricing option for high volume sellers.
Okay, I'm game. What are the details?
Well, I could give you details, but how boring would that be, Griff?
Yeah, a little bit.
Wouldn't it be better if I give you a link in a transcript? So you can click through and read the new simplified rates yourself.
Okay, and to that end, we'll put the link to that page in the transcript.
Be sure to do that.
Right, okay. So what else?
Last week we talked about the annual postal carrier rate increases coming up soon or happening now, depending on the carrier.
Of course I remember that.
Yeah, and we also posted a link to a page on the website of our good friends over at stamps.com. The page shows the proposed rate increases for USPS on other carriers.
And I remember that too. See, I remember some stuff.
Yeah, you're great. eBay posted an announcement on December 17th regarding the coming postage rate increases. Our announcement contained links to the website pages of the big three carriers that showed their 2020 postage rate increases.
I can find that link for the announcement. Where?
You can find the announcement on the seller news board. And of course, do you know what I'll do for you?
What will you do?
I will go and I'll put a link in the transcript.
I'm so glad you did.
Yeah, I'm just feeling so generous this time of year.
You're a generous guy. Right?
I try.
Hey, I imagine there's quite a few discussions on eBay community regarding the rate increases, yes?
You imagine correctly. In fact, one of the most popular threads of the past week is titled, New Increased Shipping Rates Taking Effect.
And again, we'll put the link in the transcript.
We will. Right. The original poster posted a link to the eBay page that referenced above rate increases, and then comments came rolling in, like this one from Pink Fish Rule.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that after zinging us with Zone around FCP last year, they could at least leave FCP rates alone for the year. But no.
But no. Good point.
Not that lucky.
You know, and to which seller MS asterisk Havisham, Miss Havisham replied, I thought the consensus among sellers was that buyers pay for shipping. Maybe this thread is more appropriately posted on the buying board to inform buyers of coming shipping increases and for buyers to post other help links and advise concerns to new shipping cost plans, etc. After all, it's buyers who complain about the cost of shipping, and she goes on, and give DSR ratings on shipping and even leave negative feedback on shipping.
Oh, so it sounds like buyers don't like shipping, right? That's what I'm hearing.
That's the opinion there.
And you mentioned DSRs. Yeah. Do sellers still worry about those?
I have no, I don't know why.
They have absolutely no impact on a seller performance status as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. I mean, we should do away with them really. Mm-hmm. I love this comment from DZA2Z. They say, good Lord, please let me hang on till June 1st when I go on Medicare and my Social Security will cover all my bills. The pricing is really going to affect selling here and online, regardless of what discussion board category thread this is listed on.
Wow. There's lots more on this thread, so let's check it out.
Keep in mind what we said in the last episode.
Recap, will you?
Sure. Number one, the rate increases impact all businesses. No one is singled out. And B, sellers can always pass the cost of shipping onto the buyer with either calculated or fixed price shipping added on as an invoice line item, or by folding the shipping cost into the item price, and then you promote the listing as free shipping.
Free shipping. Yeah. Oh my God, I love that. I'm going to buy that.
Okay, let's move on to our next thread. It's titled, Buyer Threatening to Sue. Oh dear. Input needed, please.
Oh dear. So poster Abby Lily D had this to say.
What?
Sold a watch 40 days ago, and then 7 days after delivery, the buyer said the watch wasn't working. I expressed my concern, and I was surprised because it was working fine when I packed it and everything was very cordial. I agreed to pay a portion of the cost of repairing, but didn't specify or agree to how much. The buyer said they were going to get an estimate. I asked for a copy of the estimate. I received that 2 weeks later. It was $280 and the work had already been done.
Ooh.
One reason I asked for an estimate was because I have a family jeweler and I wanted her to take a look at what they were doing and what they were going to do and what it was going to cost. My family jeweler was not going to charge me at all. As I explained, this is for a buyer, and explained that I was shocked that it would be repaired without my consent with such a hefty price tag.
A family jeweler?
Isn't it for great the family to have jewels? A family jeweler on hand?
I guess it is.
Is this Queen Elizabeth on her boards?
And I'm going to ask the family jeweler.
She's downsizing. Listen, all her stuff on eBay.
What else did they go on to say?
So the seller said, I wasn't comfortable paying $180, which I never agreed to the amount, nor was I given an alternate option. Now the buyer, who was an attorney, is threatening to sue me for the cost of the watch and the repair and all of the legal fees, and that the buyer lives in another state and is claiming I will have to come to their state for court.
Oh, wow. That's a dead giveaway. They don't know what they're talking about, but go on.
eBay says they have no case. PayPal say the same.
eBay.
Thoughts?
Yeah. This is a wild one. I don't think I've ever seen one like this one. What were some of the responses? I'm dying
so
to know.
So entertaining. Yeah. I mean, who needs TV when you've got this going on the boards?
It's
this
like Judge Judy right there in front of you. Right?
Well, poster Bon Jerami had some succinct advice. He's blowing smoke. Everybody becomes an attorney when they make threats.
Yeah, that's true. And poster AC Green opined, baloney. Just stop responding to that in place of a better word, ninny. If he files a not-as-described dispute, tell him to return for a refund. Otherwise, you don't owe him any further response. You especially do not owe him any money for repairs he supposedly made. The legal threats are, I love this, pure puffery.
Puffery, huffery, puffery.
Hillary Duffery.
What?
Nothing.
Are you Hillary Duffery?
Yeah. I just thought it sounded like a nice rhyme. And the rest of the 172, count them. There were 172 responses to this thread. They say much the same. Just ignore the buyer and tell him to return the item for a full refund. The seller is not on the hook for repairs without a signed contract and an agreed upon amount for repairs. Also, the buyer would have to travel to the seller state, not the other way around. That's true. Yeah.
Oh, good to know.
Et cetera, et cetera, and so on and so on. But this response from in Hawaii made me chuckle. He said, I'm also an attorney, and I do part-time work as a commercial airline pilot and a male underwear model.
Oh, nice.
I love their humor.
In Hawaii, it's pretty funny. That idea has popped up a couple of times on the show.
In Hawaii, you can be guaranteed we'll be featuring you more and more threads. We love the copy. So.
Thank you. And finally, I thought we'd add a thread from the buying section of the community. This is where buyers post their questions or concerns or opinion. And this one was posted on December 16th by Quatra.
Yeah.
And it's titled, Is This Right?
Ooh. And of course, we'll have the link in the transcript.
Of course.
So the buyer asked, and this is the original poster, I was bidding on an item I wanted, as it was almost like one I had when I was younger.
Oh, nice.
I wanted to get it as a Christmas gift to myself.
Oh, nice.
But the seller ended the item. And I found out reading some messages on eBay community that he wanted the buyer before me, the bidder before me, I think he means, to get the item.
Oh, wow.
Is this right? He asks. This happens on eBay, right? So
not frequently, but it does happen from time to time.
Sometimes the seller decides not to sell an item for whatever reason or discover the item has an issue, like it's broken or something. So
yeah.
What were some of the responses?
Well, remember my board ID posted this response. The item belongs to the seller until such time as it's sold and paid for. He can do anything he wants with it. And I'm sorry you're disappointed. And I can see why you think it is unfair, but it is what it is. Keep looking. You will find it again. It is not likely to be one of a kind.
Yeah, that poster makes a good point. And in fact, that poster is correct. With few exceptions, a seller on eBay can end an auction format listing at his or her discretion, you know. And we're actually going to go over the details of that in a moment. But first, let's review a few of the other responses.
Another great user ID poster, the dog ate my tablecloth, had this to say.
That's a great
That's
idea.
A bold dog. Be careful. I read and posted to the seller's thread to remind him that when you mess around with the usual path of auctions, you may make one person happy, but upset a bunch of other great potential buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Your thread is a good example of why sellers should not behave this way or favor certain bidders. This kind of behavior explains why so many sellers are complaining that so many good buyers have left the site.
Yeah, that's a good point. And another poster, Carbon Art Zero, has a definite opinion on the subject. So he said, problem is only going to grow so long as eBay users refuse to recognize the seller's plight with all the additional fee increases. Restrictions on sellers forced to anticipate the added and unfair costs of rampant, not as described claims, return shipping fees, confiscated PayPal transaction fees for return sales chargebacks, multiple levels, et cetera, et cetera. Ask yourself, what or who has changed here in the last few years? As the problems on eBay have grown significantly. Mm-hmm. Have the sellers changed or has eBay's policies changed? We all know that sellers haven't changed. Ouch! When in doubt, blame eBay.
That old tactic.
Yeah.
To which poster -2773 retorted, that's the problem. The sellers haven't changed. They still want to play like it's 2008.
Yeah, that's the best point yet. Everything changes if you got to change along with it. And as far as the rules, there is a policy on ending auction format listings early. You can find it in the help and contact if you search on cancel a listing. Anyway, in brief, it says whether you can end your auction listing early depends on if you've received any bids yet, how much time is left in the auction, and if you have a reserved price in place. Now, you can end your auction early if there's no bids on the item, there are bids on the item and you're willing to sell your item to the current high bidder, or there are bids on the item and you don't want to sell it to the highest bidder, but there are 12 or more hours left in the listing. In this situation, you have to cancel all the active bids before you can end your listing. We do charge a fee for ending a listing this way.
Good to know.
You can't end your auction listing early if there are fewer than 12 hours left in the listing, you've received bids and you don't want to sell it to the highest bidder, or there are fewer than 12 hours left in the listing, you've received bids, but the final item's reserve price hasn't been met. So you can see this again in help and contact.
It goes on, if you're not eligible to cancel your listing, you may contact any bidders to explain the situation and ask them to retract their bids. If the auction has finished, you can contact the winner, and if they agree, you can cancel the transaction.
Yeah.
Ending listings early disappoints bidders, so we may place limits and restrictions on your account if you're doing so regularly.
So be forewarned.
Yes, yes, it's not a good experience.
Yeah. So there you have it. Can you end an auction format listing early? The answer is yes, if it meets specific criteria, just as stated above. But should you end an auction format listing earlier?
Yeah, it's ultimately up to the seller. The item belongs to the seller until the auction closes with a successful high bidder. But every seller considering ending an auction early should remember the downside. You may anger a potentially good buyer who might never consider bidding on your listings in the future. And they also might consider shopping on eBay. They might go elsewhere.
They might.
You know, if they come to eBay and their bids are canceled, maybe I'll just buy it now somewhere else.
Yeah. A seller's canceling bids and ending an auction early should, at the very least, for Alan, communicate with the bidder or bidders and explain why they're doing it.
That is totally correct. I agree, Griff. Well, thank you for having me.
That's always a pleasure.
That's all I have for this week. And we'll be back with more Community Buzz in the coming weeks.
We'll see you then, Alan.
See you then, Griff.
Recently on our community pages, our Senior Vice President and General Manager of America's Marketplace, Jordan Sweetnam, hosted a special event called Ask Me Anything on a special thread created just for the opportunity on Community, and the link to which we will publish in this podcast episode transcript, and you can find that at ebay.com/podcast. Jordan asked sellers to post their questions on this special thread. Sellers were then asked to vote for their favorite questions. Now, the window for submitting questions is closed, and voting closed on December 16th. Jordan pledged to answer the top 10 questions as indicated by those with the highest numbers of votes. Welcome back to the podcast, Jordan.
Thanks, Griff. It's great to be here.
Jordan, it's not every day that an eBay senior vice president puts him or herself out on the seller community stage and announces to everyone, "Ask me anything." What did you hope to accomplish in having this Ask Me Anything event?
Yeah, for me, fundamentally, as I think I shared the last time I was here, our path forward is ultimately in partnership with our sellers. And that really comes down to having connection and understanding what is front of mind with our community that makes up eBay, the business models, the inventory, the concerns, what's working and what's not. And that communication is very much a two-way street. I need to hear from sellers like, what is awesome? What is exciting? What features have we done that are helpful? And then part of having a transparent dialogue means the feedback comes the other direction. So what isn't working? What mistakes have we made? What do we need to do better? And I mean, the community knows it better than I do. The hundreds of millions of different listings on the site, all the diversity of the inventory and the business models means when a small number of people are trying to make decisions to steer the giant marketplace that is eBay, there will inevitably be situations, buyer-seller dynamics, categories where we've made mistakes. And so for me, whether it's on the eBay community board, seller's email directory, other channels, it's a great opportunity to get that feedback and just learn about what do we need to be doing as we plan for next year.
Were you surprised by the number of questions that got asked?
Yes and no. I was a little bit relieved that, you know, it wasn't flooded with 1,000 questions. Because at some point I was going to feel guilty that I wouldn't have time to get to all of them. So I think we kind of landed probably at the sweet spot of where we could group enough similar things together and make a manageable shot at trying to cover the top ones.
So I've gone through the questions and I know you have too. Let's talk a little bit about them. Were there any that were really surprising to you or the questions you didn't even anticipate would come up?
I am surprised there's nothing that truly terrified me. So coming back to eBay, I mean, this is only month 4 and bit for me. There's not a day that goes by where there isn't something that, you know, shocks me about what happened while I wasn't here or just things need to get done. And so I was relieved that there was nothing new that was genuinely concerning for me in the questions.
Oh, that's good. Because that would have been, I never knew about that.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, well, let's be fair. Most of the things that have bubbled up, we're kind of aware of already.
Yes.
By the way, there were 91 questions that were asked before the questioning was closed. There were a variety of specific questions. Did those that make the top 10, were they what you would have expected as a top 10 of the most popular questions?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, the themes around how are we engaging? How are we making sure we're running a fair marketplace? How are we helping our sellers? How are we recognizing the amount of time and energy that goes into running a business on eBay? Well, the specific tactics, pixels, features have changed over time. Those themes have been at the core of eBay really since the beginning.
Well, we've compiled, I've got them right here, we've compiled the top 10 vote winner questions. And I was
That was some professional shuffling.
Well, you know, that's pay me the big bucks to shuffle. I was hoping you'd pick out just a few we can address on the podcast so we can get a feel of what your more detailed responses are. And there's a list of top 10 questions posted, and I'm just going to go through some of these really quick. We won't get to all of these on the podcast, but there's one that says, what are you going to do to improve the relationship eBay has with sellers? There's one about simplified returns. There's one about a fee holdback for buyer-initiated cancellations. There's questions that came up about snag cases and performance. One about managed payments and what the future of managed payments and are we going to require it of all sellers. Question about promoted listings and how they're compromising quality control. Changes and updates and technical issues. These were the top vote getters. And this is what I love. eBay is broken, and how do you plan to fix it in 2020? And that's it. I think we may not get to that one, but we'll see. It's up to you. You make the choice. So what do you want to talk about, Jordan?
Yeah, look, I mean, on the last one, my hope is if we address all the things in the first 10 questions, yeah. I think will put us on the right path.
I sure hope so.
Towards the last one.
Now, you don't have to actually read. I want you to come to the top of your head. Yeah. I know we have talking points for each question. It's up to you. You can do this the way you like.
No, I mean, like, the relationship with sellers, for those of you that I've had the pleasure of meeting in the past, hopefully you know when I say this is sincere. The connection to the community, our sellers, their business, how they run, what they do. For me, that's exciting. You know, I had the chance to check in with some sellers on Facebook over Thanksgiving, and someone took a film of them, like, you know, live, you know, printing shipping labels and putting stuff into packages.
On Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving.
What, over turkey dinner?
It was early in the morning. I was up before the kids were out, and time zones, they were already shipping packages. And for me, that's exciting. And so, you know, we recreated the seller organization within the Americas business. Marnie Levine, who some of you may have heard from, is leading that group up. One of the things that I'm really excited is to figure out how we can channel that energy that exists in our community and help more employees at eBay in the business unit and the technology teams and marketing and CS and operations around the world.
And podcasts,
right. You know, connect and understand that. And so I think, you know, the relationship for me, it's helping, you know, our teams here see beyond just written words and feedback and actually get out and connect and just see sellers in their place of operations.
Okay, so which question you want to talk about first?
What question do I want to talk about first? You know, maybe let's kind of like do the flyby and you can ask me follow-ups as we go.
I'm going to be the seller proxy.
Yeah, you can be the you know, simplified returns. Look, obviously returns are part of retail, but what returns means differ across the board. Yeah. So I think if you're buying, you know, something new in box, most retailers, unless you're buying, you know, liquidation closeout, the expectation is you can return it. At the other end of the spectrum, and I've never, you know, seen a first edition Spider-Man comic, but I can imagine if a seller had their hands on a first edition Spider-Man and sold that, they probably don't want a return coming back where someone's, you know, flipped through it and got some Cheeto dust in there. Like, I don't think that it really makes sense in collectibles. And so obviously we need to have returns on the platform, but what that looks like by category, by item, we will all be soliciting feedback on that next year. And there's not going to be a moment, a day in the year where suddenly returns are different on eBay. My commitment is sellers are going to hear a different dialogue and a different line of questioning from us as we look to make that better across what buyers and sellers are looking for.
Right, because the nuance of industry standard returns varies from category to category.
Exactly.
It should be reflected on eBay.
Exactly.
Well, that's a good answer. Yeah. I hope the person who asked it is happy. We'll find out. What else is there that you'd like to talk
about? You know, like I see one in here on holdback for buyer-initiated cancellations, and then the question around managed payments, which for me go one and the same. eBay is driving towards managed payments. PayPal has been a, you know, long-standing partner on eBay's platform, but for me, one of the things that's really important is how can I bring consistency and predictability to sellers' businesses? In Q4, there was the whole question around UPU, the Universal Postal Agreement, and yeah. There was a moment in time where we weren't even sure our sellers would be able to ship items internationally heading into Christmas. And that's crazy. And at the time, we didn't have a backup. There was no solution. And so I get very nervous when I think of the, you know, millions of people who transact on our platform where we have only one solution for our customers. I don't think that allows us to protect buyers, protect sellers, and have predictability in their business. And so when it comes to payments, there's no change to our plans and are we going to move towards managed payments? That's definitely the direction we're headed, but it allows us to do a lot of things. And so for me, that's where it ties back to the holdback and buyer initiated cancellations. So to answer the question, you know, we're definitely not going to reconsider the use of managed payments. And one of the reasons is it actually allows us to do a lot of things differently as a marketplace. And I think gives me more flexibility to help our sellers. And a perfect example of that is the fee holdback on buyer initiated cancellations. I understand why PayPal has done that. For me, that is inconsistent with what my commitment is to sellers around we succeed when you succeed. And so there is a cost. There will be a cost to eBay. If a buyer pays, we process the payment and then we have to issue a refund. But at the end of the day, if our sellers aren't making money on the transaction, I don't think we should be making money on the transaction either.
Right. That's out of our hands currently with the arrangement with PayPal.
That's right. And I understand exactly why PayPal is doing that.
They're running a business.
Exactly. But I think it's a good example of the kind of things where when we move to managed payments, we will be able to adjust the payment platform in a way that makes more sense for the nature of the businesses that run on our platform.
Is it a question of fear, you think, that drives some sellers to think, I don't want to be a part of this new thing? And can't we just keep it the way it used to be? And I just want to have my existing relationship with PayPal.
I think so. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that, not the least of which is change and, in all candor, our credibility. So this is a big technology investment. And with that, there will inevitably be situations that we, despite best intentions, miss or things that need to get fixed. But, you know, one of the things that surprised me the most coming back to eBay was how much progress has been made on payments, that we've created the platform we have. For me, that was the first sign of this is a different eBay on the tech side of the house. When I left 4 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to create something this big and shown so much progress so quickly. So I'm pretty optimistic about where this is going to get next year.
It would have been an easy job to do this if we could just have shut down the marketplace for 3 months, gone completely dark, and then built it and put it on and then turned it on. We don't have that luxury. We can't shut anything off here. We have to keep it going, or otherwise it really impacts everyone's business.
Yeah, someone was sort of sharing an example of like, oh, you know, this is like flying an airplane, you know, and trying to change the ends at the same time. And someone else is like, no, it's much harder than that. It's we're disassembling the entire airplane in the sky and having one person like hanging on tight onto the engine and then putting it all back together. And so I think for me, it's incredible what that team has accomplished. A huge shout out and thank you to sellers who've been a part of sharing feedback so far. And just like this AMA and these top 10 questions, as we move into managed payments, we will need a lot more feedback next year.
Are there any you want to talk about on the podcast? I know there's some that you're very passionate about.
So the one that caught my attention was around promoted listings. I think the intention there is bang on. Promoted listings give sellers a different tool to help control velocity on the platform. If you've got a new product you want Best Match to learn, all of those are the right thing. And obviously, there's a standard across other marketplaces. So promoted listings ads aren't inherently bad. But for me, it comes back to two things. I want to make sure we're always answering the question and asking of ourselves at eBay, are we delivering value for fees? Are sellers really getting what their hard-earned dollars are going for? And I think there's more we can do on ads on that front. But the one thing that does concern me is I've seen enough anecdotal examples that sellers have sent in to me of where I would say not the best product is at the top of search. And the reason for that is because someone has bought an ad and I don't think the seller's doing anything wrong. But at the core, I want the message for sellers to be deliver the best experience possible for buyers. Focus on shipping, focus on the packaging, have a great product, have a great price. And if you've done all those things and you've got a lot or you want to sell something quickly, then you should buy a promoted listing and that's great. And I think right now we haven't done a good job of clarifying for sellers what we would like them to focus on first. First, deliver a great experience for buyer, then worry about buying an ad if you want to sell things more quickly. And I think again, well, I can't share any specifics because the honest answer is I don't know yet. I can tell you this is something we're looking at for next year. And sellers,
but from the top, that's the direction you want to go.
Definitely. Yeah. And so sellers shouldn't be surprised if they see us start to talk more about like the quality of the listings getting into promoted listings next year.
These are the questions that you're going to go into more depth when you post answers on the chat board. And I want to make sure everyone is aware of the fact that there is a place to get to. So if you go to ebay.com/JordanAMA, that stands for Ask Me Anything, you'll get directly to this thread. It's a special thread on the eBay community board where you can read the questions and the answers that Jordan has posted. Jordan, we talked about this during your last visit, and that is that you left eBay a few years ago to work at another marketplace, which shall be nameless, Walmart. But then you came back last summer. And that's a big jump away and back. And speaking for all of us here, I got to tell you, we are thrilled to have you back at eBay. But I can't recall an eBay exec at the VP level who has left eBay ever coming back. So I have to ask you, what compelled you to come back to eBay?
Part of it is moments like this. There's just a lot of great people at eBay. There are a lot of great people out in the community. And even when I left eBay, there were still sellers who were reaching out to me on LinkedIn to ask for questions and how to connect. And for reasons I can't fully articulate, I feel a really deep connection to the business. And I mean, you know, next year is our 25th anniversary, which is really exciting. And I believe there is another 25 years in eBay. And I think the next 25 can look different than probably the last couple that may have gotten sellers down. And that is really exciting. I love the challenge. I love the puzzle. And I am convinced there's a combination where connecting our sellers more closely into what we need to build on the platform to deliver the right customer experiences. There's a lot of upside. There's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a great place to work. And I'm looking forward to the next 25 years, which I will be here. We were doing the math at lunch. I will be 90, but that's okay. I'll be here.
I will almost be 90, Griff. You may not know it. We're very close in age.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. Well, Jordan, I want to thank you for coming up with the idea of Ask Me Anything. And the spirit of Ask You Anything, I got to ask you this. Will you be doing more Ask Me Anything events in the future?
Definitely. Through social channels, trying to figure out how after earnings, I provide a little more color and context to the community around like what's going on inside the U.S. business. There will be a lot more opportunities for sellers to ask me questions and provide feedback.
Thanks, Jordan. I know I speak for all our sellers and all of my colleagues here at eBay when I say we look forward to seeing more of you in future Ask Me Anything events.
Thanks, Griff. Look, it was great to be here today. I really appreciate you guys for inviting me along. And hopefully I didn't make a mess of your audio equipment and
kept
the mic
in
the right place.
It's all fine.
Yeah. And I will look forward to being back in the near future.
Jordan Sweetnam is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of America's Marketplace. You can view the questions and Jordan's responses at the Ask Me Anything thread, which is at ebay.com/JordanAMA. And we'll link to the thread in the episode transcript. eBay's connection to charity has gone on for now almost, well, it'll be 19 years. And charity has always played a big part, both in our seller community, our buyer community, and here at eBay. It continues today. It's gone through many evolutions and different iterations. Today, it's known as eBay for Charity. And we're joined today by the general manager for eBay for Charity, Brenda Halkias. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Very nice to be here.
So can you give us a little picture of what eBay for Charity is, how it operates, and how big it is?
As you made mention, eBay for Charity has been around really since 2001. It was an output of 9/11 when that tragic event happened here in New York City. The mayor of the time, Giuliani, and Governor Pataki had reached out to Meg Whitman, who was the CEO then, and asked if they could do an auction for America with the goal to be raising funds for both firefighters and policemen. And obviously, a lot of families lost the breadwinners that supported those families. And what could we do to actually make a difference, make an impact? And we raised over $10 million coming out of that. And as an outpouring from our community, as a result, people, both buyers and sellers, were reaching out to the leadership at the time and saying, can we do more for charity? Can we do something on the platform where I can buy or I can sell? We'd love to see more of that. So that really is what spurred actual product development and actually creating the program, and so that it's built within the eBay site and the eBay platform. So we officially launched in 2003. And to date now, we've raised just over $1 billion. We have over 83,000 charity organizations that are enrolled in our program, with America, the United Kingdom, France, Spain, Italy, Germany, and some pieces of the program both in Australia as well as Canada. And it's a program that speaks to buyers. You know, obviously one of our largest, most consumer-facing of those auctions is Warren Buffett. I think everybody is well aware that we auction off a lunch with Warren Buffett every year. Mm-hmm. Going to our 18th year, we raised $4.6 million this year, and that supported the Glide Foundation, which is a small charity organization in eBay's backyard in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco. So I think one of the beautiful things about our platform is that we support not only large organizations like a Red Cross or a Direct Relief, but we also support smaller charity organizations like a Glide Foundation. And I think some of the folks that you're going to be speaking to on the seller side who are doing work in that kind of charity space.
Say I have a charitable cause that's near and dear to my heart, mm-hmm. and I want to utilize the eBay for Charity platform to help raise funds for that charity. What are the different ways I can do that? For example, as a seller, but what if I'm the charity itself?
As a charity organization, we pride ourselves on our outreach and our customer service. So we really do want to partner and make sure that we understand what a charity organization's goals are. And from that, we will share like what are the best ways to really reach those goals that you have, whether they're fundraising goals, whether it's an awareness driver for a charity organization that does create awareness, not only for the organization and the cause, but also for eBay itself. But secondary to that, but certainly as important, if you have existing inventory, like a Goodwills of the world or a Salvation Army, you can actually use our platform and become a direct seller. And then we will set you up on the platform, work with you to help advise like what's the kind of inventory that's going to sell on the platform. We also have what we have called Give It Checkout. So when you go through the eBay sell flow when you're paying with PayPal, charity organizations will show up if you haven't already selected a favorite charity organization. So, for example, I might want to support Best Friends. So I can go to eBay and I can select Best Friends. And that means every time when I've purchased something on eBay and I check out, Best Friends will show up and I can like add funds onto the top of that. There's a many, many different ways that charity organizations can use the platform. And there's many ways that the buyers can kind of get involved as well to not only sell for a cause that they care about, but actually to support it in addition to just purchasing something on the platform.
And of course, a seller can donate a percentage of their sale for an individual listing to a charity either that's on the list or they can ask for one if it's not on the list. Most every charity I can think of is now in that 83,000 plus.
Yes.
And they can choose the percentage of donation from the sale of that item will go to that charity. And eBay has a special arrangement when it comes to fees.
Yeah. So when a charity organization sells something and 100% goes back to that charity organization, eBay will credit 100% of those fees. And same thing, even if a seller is selling an item, an iPhone, for example, and they don't want to donate 100%, but say they want to donate 30%, eBay will then credit back 30% of our seller fees. This is really part of who we are. It's part of our DNA. We are not in this to be making money. We are in this to truly live our brand and talk our talk and walk our purpose. So this is something that nobody else out there can do but eBay.
Brenda, do you utilize the charity program yourself as a buyer or seller on eBay?
Yeah, I think it's really important for anybody at eBay, whether you're in the charity program or any of our different teams at eBay, that you're actually buying and selling for the organization.
Do you have a favorite charity of your own that you like to support?
I do have a favorite charity, and that really was my mother's favorite charity. So I think that's where my heart is, and that's called Best Friends.
What does Best Friends do?
Animal welfare and shelters, and they're a nationwide organization, and it's something that my mother was very near and dear to her. So I've made a personal commitment since she passed that I would support them. So
that's beautiful. I also support animal charities myself.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's not the only charity I support, but it's certainly it's in my top.
It's in your top list. Yeah.
Yes.
What's the future of eBay charity? Are there things that you can sort of tease about what may be coming or what the plans are for the year and beyond?
Yeah, well, we're actually right in the middle of our planning for next year. And I think obviously reaching that 1 billion was a huge milestone.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's really the eBay community that has made this happen. So thank you to our community. So I just want to make sure I share that. And as far as future planning and what that's going to look like is being part of the global impact team, we will definitely be putting together a list of sustainability goals and other goals that we want to make sure that we get on record for reaching within the next 5 and 10 years.
Well, Brenda, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day there in our New York office in Manhattan.
Well, thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Brenda Halkaya. She's the general manager of eBay for Charity. eBay for Charity has been around for 19 years, coming up on 20 in 2021. We've heard from the eBay side about what eBay Charity is, but I thought it would be good to talk to a few sellers who utilize the charity platform to either support their business or to support a cause that they're passionate about. Sean Newell. He's the Chief Social Enterprise Officer for a charity based in Massachusetts called More Than Words. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I know it's really busy there, especially this time of year. I just wanted to get a little background on what it is that you do for More Than Words.
So I lead the business portion of More Than Words. So More Than Words is a nonprofit social enterprise. We're actually based here in Boston. So what we do is youth are referred to us through the foster care system, court-involved, homeless are out of school, and they come to work on the business job, which is running a very robust book business and retail site downtown, and also to move their life forward, which is called their U job. So obtaining permanent housing, GED, HISET, going to college. So we help them on both sides of the ball. It's a 6 to 12 month job training program for young adults that are 16 to 24.
Last summer, we spoke with Makai, who I believe actually went through the More Than Words training program and then ended up working for More Than Words.
Yeah, no, Makai was an exceptional young man, an exceptional youth participant in the program at the time. And normally we say that young people, once they are done their time in the core social enterprise, which is that's the time they're in the building during the job training program, we like to see them outside the building for a couple of years afterwards. But Makai decided he didn't want to leave and he was going to stay. And so he just kept pushing us and he became a full-time manager, our first young person that went directly from the program to a full-time manager.
So let's talk a little bit more about both the mission of the company and how you utilize eBay for Charity.
My job is unique in that I get the opportunity to build the youth programming piece, the training program for the businesses, but also run really robust, legit businesses. Our largest business is our online business, which around almost $3 million comes from just selling online. And a large portion of that $3 million comes from selling on the eBay platform. What I get to do is meet with our teams here, talk about how we grow our businesses, but also grow our job training for young people. And if that online business wasn't so robust, we wouldn't be serving the number of young people we do. And right now, at any one time, we have 84 system-involved young people working in those businesses, and another 34 in a satellite location out in Waltham, which is a little bit west of Boston. So I get to review those reports every single day. I get to look how the marketplace is doing, and I get to see the good work that eBay for Charity is helping us with. And so I'm a huge supporter. I'm a buyer on eBay for Charity, but I'm also a huge supporter from the work that I do. And what's unique about eBay is that, unlike other businesses that we run, eBay gives back all of the selling costs that we would pay if we weren't a nonprofit.
Your selling fees that you would pay as an eBay seller are actually donated back to the business. They're refunded to you as a charity.
Correct. Yeah. It's an incredible program.
The program participants, mm-hmm. How many of them spend most of their time listing items on eBay for the company?
All of them. So they all start in our online business. So they're listing books every day. In one site, we list around 1,400 to 1,500 books a day, and the other site around 400 to 500. The satellite location's a little bit smaller, so every young person lists books online.
So there's a huge stream of donated books coming into your business.
Yeah, gigantic. We have a huge network here in Boston. We've been here for 15 years now. So this year, we'll do around 4.5 million books donated.
That's amazing.
It's unreal. It's a huge support network here, and the community is really supportive of what we're doing up here.
The program participants, then you train them on how to do the basic components of a listing, which I assume is taking a photo and writing the description. And
yeah, so I think just the size of scale we are, we do use a third-party platform for some of our listing help. But our young people are involved in assessing condition. You know, they're assessing whether it's hardcover, softcover, where they can sell scale-wise, good, acceptable, very good, like new. And they're also doing brief descriptions in case there's a unique item that comes through that somebody might be looking for that you only can get on eBay.
I talked to Makai about this last summer. Remind me what happens when a rare first edition comes in the stream. Are you guys able to catch that and monetize it?
I don't know if you've ever seen Boiler Room, but you know when the young guy jumps up and yells Recco and the entire room screams? It kind of feels like that when a first edition comes through the sort line.
Yeah,
that's what I can equate it to. And so when we see a first edition come through, everyone's like, you know, first edition. And then we know where it's going and how fast it's going there because they're sought after, obviously.
And you treat them differently. They're not going to sneak under the radar. You have buyers that are looking for these.
Yeah, we have buyers that were looking for this. Specifically, actually, one buyer on eBay, and I'm not sure of his handle, so forgive me, but he specifically scouts us out because we have those titles.
Smart buyer.
Yeah, I agree.
As a seller, you can sell on eBay and donate a portion of your sales to your favorite charity. But if you work for or you run a actual charity, a 501c3, and you want to take advantage of the platform itself to help boost and leverage the funds coming into your charity. That's what More Than Words does. So they are the actual charity themselves. But if there's a listener out there who actually does have their own 501c3 or works for a company that they would like to help start doing this, what would be your advice to them?
I would say use eBay as a tool and a partner. I think people are, or new people especially, are nervous, like, am I going to get a bad rating? And eBay has worked with us not as someone that is hard and fast on all these rules that you have to follow. And there are policies for reasons, but they've worked with us as a partner to understand our capabilities and how to best streamline our inventory to draw velocity to our eBay storefront. I think had we not used them as a partner and learned from them and let them help us, I don't think we would have seen the growth we've seen on the marketplace that we've seen over the last 3 years, especially. And I think that relationship just changed. We started communicating, and eBay became very supportive once that happened. And I just think they're very in tune with what their buyers need and their sellers need. And I think that's really important and unique in a marketplace. So just use them as a partner and use them for help when you need it, because they offer a lot of resources and it will get you off the ground and help you scale.
I forgot to mention at the top of our discussion that More Than Words was a 2019 Shine Award winner.
Yeah, it's one of the highlights of our entire business existence. So I think that's not lip service. That's the truth. I think it's one of our proudest moments as an organization, especially to see one of our young people in Mackay, now our manager, up there accepting award. So it's second to none when it comes to what this organization has been able to do.
So that was last year. Have you noticed any impact on your business, both, for example, when it comes to awareness of the business or an impact on the bottom line for the charity?
Yeah, no, I think the notoriety of our business, and not just because our organization, I think, carries a bit of clout because the work that we do and the impact that we have and the number of people that follow that and support that. But I think our business stood alone as a legit business after that award was given, and that the spotlight was on what young people can do and given the opportunity and chance to shine. And so that award stood out to us and just added a level of, I think, seriousness and legitimacy to our young people. Aren't just a passive participant of our program. They have skin in the game. They are working every single day and they're serious about business. And that was validating. If you're a new seller or a new buyer, I definitely think the marketplace is where you need to be at.
Sean, thank you so much. And we're in awe of your accomplishments. We wish you the best, both for you and Mackay and More Than Words there in Boston.
You too. Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Sean Newell. He's the Chief Social Enterprise Officer for More Than Words.
There are, as we've said, many sellers on eBay who utilize the eBay for Charity platform as a regular part of their business and their own charitable endeavors when it comes to supporting charities and causes that are near and dear to them. Now, joining us now is longtime seller and Community Hall of Fame winner Elizabeth Bennett, who along with her partner Sarah Luther run Africa Direct, a company that sells wonderful African art, antiques, and artifacts on eBay. Been doing so for quite some time. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Griff. Nice to be here.
How long have you been selling on eBay?
I think it's 25 years.
You've been doing it as long as eBay.
Just about.
Now, I know we've talked a lot in the past when we were on eBay Radio, but I don't think we've ever quite got into the story of how you got started, not just selling on eBay, but selling in general as a business, and why things from Africa.
Well, Sarah and I had been very active in anti-apartheid politics in South Africa during the time that Mandela was imprisoned. And we had always wanted to go and said we would never go until our multiracial family would all be welcomed. And then all of a sudden in 1994, Mandela was out of prison and we sort of couldn't stand to not be there. We have five children, but we took the three who were still living at home and sold most of what we owned, rented our house, and moved to South Africa for a year and bought a used panel truck where they sold fried dough out the side and drove 15,000 miles around Southern Africa and had fabulous adventures and in the process bought a lot of things and weren't quite sure what we were going to do with them. I didn't want a retail outlet. I knew that. And we came back and did a little wholesaling and a few shows and were genteelly starving. And all of a sudden, eBay happened, and it was a complete game changer because it gave us a global market. And Denver's just not big enough, really, for an African art dealership to make it. So I remember vividly the first time I said, Sarah, we sold $50 worth of stuff on eBay this week. Wow, this could turn into something serious.
Well, you have to start somewhere. $50 is a pretty good start.
We thought that was a pretty great achievement on the road.
Yeah. So. And then that led to a bigger business, and today it's a business both on eBay, but also on your own website. And
it is, but eBay is always our cornerstone. It is our chief marketing source. It's where the biggest part of our heart is, and we've been active eBay supporters for all these years, and it has put kids through college, paid off a mortgage, taken us to Africa a number of times, and it really is the cornerstone of our business.
And one of the other things it's done is allowed you to donate a lot of funds to your charities that are near and dear to your heart. Let's talk a little bit about that. What charities do you support?
We support primarily charities which are in Africa and deal with extreme poverty. We have a very favorite one, which is called SHOFCO, Shining Hope for Communities. And we've been supporters of theirs since they started about 10 years ago with a school for girls in the biggest slum in Africa, which is in Nairobi. And they now are in 6 different locations, and they have health centers and water centers. And it's run by an African man named Kennedy Odede, who grew up impoverished in the slums and homeless. And the woman who's now his wife, who is from Denver and I've known since she was a little girl. And so you have sort of a combination of various kinds of American know-how, but the leadership is African and is on the ground and is people who really know what's needed most. And we're very proud of them, and we're proud of what we've been able to do for them and for other organizations.
And how much has Africa Direct donated, if I may be so bold?
Well, this week we are crossing the milestone of $150,000.
$150,000.
Yeah, and that's all been doing 10% of a lot of items. And so it kind of motivates us to stay with the business and to list 5 more items each day and to take a few more pictures, because the money spreads around, and money which goes to Africa goes a lot farther than it does in the U.S.
Yeah, it helps a lot of lives.
It's true.
Though you have been using the business to help support the charity, eBay for Charity didn't really get started until 2001, and even then it was kind of a slow start. And did you start using the, I think it was called eBay Giving?
It was eBay Giving Works, and we started, I believe, in the end of their first or beginning of their second year. So we've been quite long term with them. We've seen them grow and get better and better at what they do.
If I'm a seller of any size or any type of business who would like to utilize eBay for supporting a charity that's important to me, what would be your word of advice for getting started?
List an item. Once you go through the hoops to list your first item, it is all so easy from there. And we do bulk uploads. We do, you know, a lot of different things to enable us to list in higher volume. But it's very, very easy, and it will make a difference in your sales.
10% across the board, you've been donating for quite some time, and your business has still grown, and you're profitable and thriving.
I would say that our eBay Giving Works is a big part of our identity. Our customers, and we have lots and lots of return customers, know that we do this, and it's a part of why they choose to buy from us. People look at charitable giving or cause marketing, as it's sometimes called, and say, well, you know, are you doing this for altruism and to do good for the world? Are you doing it to do good for your business? And I don't think it's a choice. I think it's both. I think it's yes and.
Right. Because without the business thriving, you wouldn't be able to give to the charity.
We give charitably in other ways and always have, but we would never have been able to contribute this much. This was a partnership between eBay and Africa Direct and our customers, which have enabled kids to go to school, babies to be born in hospitals when that's needed, midwives to be trained, clean water. It goes on and on. And if your interest is the local Boy Scout troop or the Animal Welfare League or the Rescue League for the breed of your choice, or saving whales at education, it just doesn't matter. eBay has hundreds of thousands of charities available, and if yours isn't there, they can register easily. Any 501c3 can be registered, and you can make a difference in the area where your heart lies.
Elizabeth, what's in the future for Africa Direct? Are you planning more trips back to Africa?
We're going to Africa in May and hoping to see a lot of old friends, some of whom we first met in 1994 when we were there. And we plan on bringing back wonderful things to sell on eBay. And we are looking forward to hitting 200,000 in eBay Giving Work donations before we hang it up.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for stopping and taking time out of your busy day. And when I say busy, this business is huge. You should check it out. It's Africa Direct. And if you thought you weren't interested in African artifacts, antique, and art, I guarantee you will be. Just because of Africa Direct. Elizabeth, thank you so much, and happy holidays and continued success to you and Sarah in the business.
Happy holidays to you, Griffin. Thanks so much for focusing on eBay Giving Works.
Elizabeth Bennett, along with her partner, Sarah Luther, are the co-founders and owners of Africa Direct, a business on eBay. Check it out. And that is our show for this week.
And on our next episode, we'll air the best of the New Year resolutions that were called into our hotline. That number is 888-723-4630.
Yeah, we got a lot of them. And some resolutions that I collected from sellers live at our local meetup as well. We'll add that into the mix.
Lovely. Yeah. And if we use your resolution on air, we'll be contacting you for your shipping address and size so we can send you an exclusive Fashion Forward Beyond Hip Purple Podcast hoodie.
Oh, you're going to like the way you look in it. I guarantee it.
That sounds familiar.
No, really, it's fabulous. And it's purple. How do you say no to purple?
You just don't.
Right, that's
no,
right.
No, I can't wait to hear them. It's the start of a brand new year, and we want to take a moment to thank all of you who listen to the podcast. You've grown in number since last January, and we can only think that you are liking what we do each week.
But if you have suggestions for something new you'd like us to cover, maybe a guest or a segment idea, why not let us hear it?
Mm-hmm. You can let us hear it when you call us on 888-723-4630.
You heard that right. It's 888-723-4630. And as I say every week, you can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
Or if you want to be a guest on the show, tell us what you'd like to talk about and we'll contact you for more details. And who knows, you could end up being an eBay for Business podcast star.
A star. Imagine it, if you will. Your name in lights. A star on the podcast Walk of Fame. Agents will be clamoring to represent you. Kim Kardashian will start following you for a change.
Yeah, right, sure. And if you don't want to call, you can always contact us via our email address. It's podcast@ebay.com.
That's right, Alan. It's podcast@ebay.com.
Actually, your top priority eBay New Year resolution should be to start attending a local eBay seller meetup in your area.
Mm.
As we never tire of repeating every week, at seller meetups, you can join in with your fellow eBay sellers to share tips, stories.
A little nosh.
That too. And insights, experience, fun, games, and even some...
Wait for it.
Kvetches. I love kvetches. I need a t-shirt. Kvetches.
Kvetches, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to make them. Now, you can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups, exclusively for meetups, at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into the weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific. Go to facebook.com/eBay for Business. And right after the live stream, hop on over to the eBay community for our weekly chat. It's every Wednesday at 1:00 Pacific. Go to ebay.com/community chat and we will see you there.
And that's our show for this week. The eBay for Business podcast is brought to you by Head of Community Brian Burke.
Special Correspondent Jen Deal.
Associate Executive Segment Producer Doug Smith.
Our Marketing Strategist Liz Austin.
Or my co-host and my esteemed colleague Alan Aisbit.
And our host and Editor-in-Chief Griff.
Thank you, Alan. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and syndicated by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Last show of the year.
Yeah.
So I won't see you for a while.
That was tough. I've just eaten so much over the last week. My brain is slowing down. Too many carbs.
Yeah.
Too many carbs.
You got to be careful. So you look good right now. I looked good at your age, and now look at me.
You still look great, Griff.
Nah, it's carbs.
Come on.
It's not very pretty under here.
No comment.
Right.
No comment.
Well, when I come back to the studio, I should have some new knees.
New knees?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you on your new knees.
Thank you. I'll be back
soon. Best of luck.
We'll see you in the new year.
See you then.